This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. Guys, serious question. Been thinking about this since, I don't know. I've been thinking about this for a while, but I have a question for you guys, and this is what we're going to talk about today. It has to do with players having so much input in their franchise. And I'm not just talking about any player. Obviously, I'm talking about your franchise players, your LeBrons, you know, your Kyrie Irvings, you know. And I say mainly Kyrie Irving and not Kevin Durant because I could be wrong, but it appears that Kyrie seemed to have more say-so and it's probably a lot more opinionated. Kevin Durant just seems like he's just a baller and he wants to trust who he's working with so that way they will put him in the best position, obviously, in order to succeed and ultimately the team will. He seems like more of a team guy, if you will. Whatever is best for the team. Not so much on personal agendas for whatever reason. And I say LeBron too because I think LeBron means well. He speaks up on a multitude of different issues surrounding the world, really, which is commendable. But at the same time, when it comes to an organization that you work for, that you're employed by, now should you have some input? Yeah. I mean, I think that's smart, right? You do kind of, if you're the front office, you do want to know what your star players, you know, would want. And I don't mean just asking them what they want and kind of doing the opposite. I mean just getting a feel for what they want. You know, I don't know if parents do this today, but the way I like to think of it as when I was younger, you know, when my parents would tell me to make a Christmas list, right? You know, for Christmas, get your gifts or whatever. Now, she wouldn't say, whatever you put on that list, I'm going to get you exactly what you want for Christmas. Like, whatever it is. No, it's just so she can get an idea, right, of what to buy. So it can be somewhere in that realm. Like, if I'm just turning 16 and I want a new car, okay, you're not going to get a car. Maybe I can, you know, start off with some money for a savings, right, in order to accomplish that goal. Because since that's such a lavish thing, and obviously that's a pretty big thing. But even for talking on small terms, and we're just talking about, you know, video games, for instance, and there's a particular video game that you want, but maybe when she went to go look for it, it's not there. But maybe she saw that it was 2K or whatever. And unfortunately, 2K wasn't available, but maybe she got you the Madden, you know, or some other, you know, or NBA Live, that's still a thing, but more of a 2K person personally, but you get where I'm going with this. I feel like that's the way a front office should look at it, right? When they ask the opinion of the superstars, like, hey, what do you guys think of this? Like, we're thinking about going this way. What do you think? Right? You want to take their opinion into consideration, but you don't want them ultimately to make the decision because at that point, you're asking them to play out of their position, right? You're asking them to do something that's not their job. It's your job because you're the one that's ultimately going to be responsible for it. You make a bad draft choice. You make a bad trade that doesn't work out. What have you. That all falls back on the front office because they get to decide those type of things, right? And the coach, I think, somehow I feel like the coach, depending on what type of coach and how well he's respected within that organization, that's why there needs to be some type of boundaries, right? So in Frank Vogel's case, I honestly don't believe he had the opportunity to really coach the way he wanted to. When it comes to whether it's disciplining guys or just kind of establishing his culture or establishing what he wanted to get done, it was more of this is what the management wanted, and you had to just some way try to coach around that. And if you know anything about coaching or about sports, you know, no matter what, if you have a program in place, it's got to be that program in place in order for it to work. It can't be half of it, a quarter of it, or some portion of it, or you're trying to work around. No, like, this is the program. You trust me to hire me to do a job. You got to see it all the way through. Right? That's just my way of thinking. So when you have guys having way too much input, not allowing the coach to fully do his job or her job because of the front office kind of getting in the way of that, it can be a recipe for disaster, right? Or you can start to create that dysfunction. And when players start to see that dysfunction, especially as superstars, they may want to try to take it into their own hands and try to fix problems that ultimately they weren't qualified to fix, right? Not saying that they may not have good ideas, but there's a reason why there are levels to this, right? The players can play, no doubt. But at the end of the day, I think you do need to establish a culture where you have a front office. They're the ones making the big decisions with the owner, with the money decisions, trades, who you're going to draft, what's the chemistry like within the team. All those different dynamics that people kind of just overlook, and they kind of just look at this, you know, the star power and think it's just supposed to work. There's so many different things behind the scenes that I'm even beginning to learn. It's a lot, folks. It's not that simple, especially if you're just a casual fan. It's more than you think. It's very intricate, you know, and for you not to establish those boundaries of, okay, and now that front office then in turn hires a coach that they feel that can execute, right, the culture that should have already have been there, that have already was established, you know, what exactly they want to do. Why did you hire them? You know, that type of thing. Or if you're trying to hire a coach that you believe in so much that they're going to establish that culture with you. You know, whether it's a hard-nosed, defensive-minded, you know, or are you going to have a lot of two-way players that get it done on both ends of the ball, you know, that's something that needs to be really worked out behind the scenes, not in front of the media. And then when you do have that coach, that's when you can start looking into the players, whether the players that are already there, if you want them, or if you want to play them and kind of showcase their talents. That way their draft stock becomes really high. Sorry, their trade stock becomes really high, right, in the market. And maybe other teams can look at them and say, hey, maybe we can use that guy on our team, which is great because maybe you can use a draft pick, or maybe you might want to try to acquire a superstar and try to get a couple of your guys and trade for one. Whatever the case may be. But I don't see any of that getting done the proper way when you have superstars that are just pretty much hijacking the franchise, telling you this is the way it's going to be, or I'm not playing, or I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just not going to be all in. And it's like, I get it. Guys, it's like from one extreme to the next, right? Because in the generation that I grew up in, you saw a lot of guys kind of wasting their career away with one franchise, you know, just sticking with that franchise, hoping they're going to do right by them, and it just doesn't happen, right? They don't get that championship. They don't get enough help. They didn't listen to them at all. Now it's like we're moving into this era where, or we're already in it, actually, of superstars. They're so boisterous. And I'm one of the people who are for it. But everything's in moderation, though. Just because you're for something doesn't mean you're full throttle 100% at the top of the mountain saying this is exactly how we should be doing things. Everything's in moderation. I don't think that they should have so much input to the point where they should be like what they say is law. You know, or what they say is more is superior than the front office. It just doesn't make sense because on no level in no other corporation does that happen. It just doesn't. You know, that's why we have to find a middle ground and figure out what works best. Players are there to play, right? You guys, especially in the NBA, you're getting guaranteed deals. A lot of them getting a lot of money because the market calls for it. Some people may agree or disagree. I say get your money if the market allows. But at the same time, you must, and I say you must, live up to that contract. Now, if you're injured, I mean, it happens. I'm a Knicks fan. Trust me, I've seen injuries, how they, you know, how they can go, and with big contracts. Trust me, I know a lot of y'all like, yeah, Allen Houston. Yeah, I know injuries are just an unfortunate part of the game. And that's just something we kind of live with, right? But sports medicine is a lot better. We've seen guys come back from so many different injuries. You know, Achilles nowadays, it's just, okay, about a season and a half, 2 years. You know, you could be back. It depends on what type of player you are, but, you know, that's not a career-ending injury, you know, like it used to be, even though guys would try to stay and try to, but at the end of the day, you're just not that player. Right? But sports medicine has come a long way. So my point is, 82 games is a long season. I know that. And that's why it's up to the coaches to manage the minutes. You're going to have guys like Kevin Durant that think they can play all 48. I'm here to tell you, it's not a smart idea. It's just not. Not the way that the defenses that are coming at you nowadays. Nope. Nope. Guys are very athletic. Guys are two-way players. They're not just going to get you offensively. We've already seen it. So, in my opinion, that's on the coach. But you have to have a front office that's willing to say, hey, this coach is our guy. So whatever he says goes. If he doesn't want to put this guy in a starting lineup because he's shooting ridiculous shots and turning the ball over, sorry, Russ, you're my guy, but... It's then if you feel like you want to bench him, if you want to, however you see fit, nobody's going to say anything. Or I should put it this way. Front office should not say anything about that. You entrusted this man to run your team. And not to mention, gave you a championship about 18 months ago. Now, you can argue whether it was LeBron or AD. The point is, it's a team sport, collective effort. Frank Vogel was leading the charge, right? He was the guy that you wanted to get it done with, alongside LeBron, AD, and all these other guys. They got it done. And they got it done with defense. But that's another topic for another day. And that was the point. And that was the reason why you got Frank Vogel, if I'm not mistaken. So the fact that next season, you know, all these guys got hired. We all thought it was a bad idea because of age, and nobody was trying to be ageist. We were just making, I think, a legitimate argument for why that wasn't the best idea. Mainly because LeBron was, in his 19th season, we knew it would come down to him because at the end of the day, out of everybody on that team, besides Russell Westbrook, he's been proven to have that longevity. He's been proven to be in the game, to be available. Proven. Now, the only difference between LeBron, well, there's a lot of difference between LeBron and Russell Westbrook, but the difference is LeBron was still able to produce at a very high level. Russell wasn't able to do that for you. And then you have all these other guys that are in that same age range, obviously older, and KD, we already know what that is. Just the availability, the injuries just wasn't there. So for the franchise not really being able to have a say-so, you got to blame Jeannie Buss. And it's like, I hate to say that. You hate to say that. You see her as an owner. She was definitely better than her brother. But at the same time, they got to do better moving forward. And a lot has to do with how you run things, how you establish a culture. There needs to be a hierarchy. There needs to be levels. Players are there to play. Should you have input if you're one of those top guys? 100%. But that shouldn't be the end all be all, folks. It really shouldn't. It's a shame when you look at these franchises and when you look at the talent surrounded by these teams and you see how it just doesn't work out. It's simple. Because you can't have a bunch of guys having their own agendas on a team. When you're on a team, it's up to upper management, front office, to say, hey, these are our team goals. This is what we want to do. This is what we're trying to do. Hey, we found a guy who's going to execute all these things. Coach. Coach is going to make sure all these programs and different things get put into place in order to make guys successful, whether it's minutes restriction, make sure strength and conditioning is being done, make sure we're working on free throws, make sure we're in good condition and good shape to make a nice 82-game run. And if we're super lucky, get into the playoffs, get that 16 wins and a championship. That's it. But players need to be protected from themselves. And at the same time, the team needs to be protected from the players to not just kind of go along with their agenda. Let's face it. Players, individuals have their own agenda. They do. That's why it is very important to only get ideas from them. Definitely be able to get some advice, chemistry-wise. Because you definitely want your leader to feel like they're a part of it, right? Because how are you going to lead if you can't follow? So you most certainly do want your leaders to be in the room. But those same guys, man, they can't own the room. Everything that you say is not law. It's not the end all be all. The franchise should have the final say. It's their team. It's their organization. And ultimately, they want what's best for the team. Now, the only way I would say a player should have way more say so, if it is obvious that the franchise, the front office, or even the owner for that matter, does not seem to put the team first, and it is like an overwhelming, you know, feel in that organization, then yeah, something needs to be done. Absolutely, 100% agree with that. Something needs to be done. But if the front office is not just thinking about today, they're thinking about tomorrow, they're thinking about 10 years from now, 15 years from now, where their franchise is going to be and who's going to lead that organization, they have every right to make that move or make that decision that best fits them. Because at the end of the day, we already know athletes cannot play forever. They have a small window when you consider their whole life, right? The franchise has to think beyond that athlete. So that's why players may not understand the different moves and the different decisions that they may make, because the player is thinking about their individual. So there is a fine line between worrying too much about the individual and ultimately just capitulating to the star players and pretty much giving them whatever they want. That's not the way to run any franchise, and I think a lot of franchises are now coming out, you know, and, well, I can't say really a lot. Just in particular, like Sean Marks for the Nets. Now, a lot of people are arguing whether they should have had that conversation. I'll catch you up in case I'm just talking, you're not really sure what I'm talking about. So the Nets front office had open to the media conversation, kind of just letting them know, like, listen, some people would say Sean Marks felt the need to take his franchise back, so to speak. I don't know. Some people thought that that conversation, instead of just saying, oh, we're not going to accept people just being here, you know, half the time. We want people who are all in it about basketball. This is their main focus. They want to be here. They want to get better, because a lot of people underestimate chemistry. And if you listen to me enough times, you know that I preach this. And it's with everything you do in life. But when we're speaking more specifically, you know, to sports and a team, trying to get everybody on the same team, on the same, you know, page when it comes to what the common goal is. The common goal is not to just, you know, just win a championship just that season. I mean, that's the goal season to season. But you want to be remembered. You want to build a dynasty if you can. Some people are a little premature, like Dylan Brooks already mentioning dynasty when they haven't won yet. But, you know, I like the attitude, though, because at the end of the day, it speaks to where his head is at. You know what he's going to be doing. I wouldn't be surprised that if he wasn't really going too crazy with vacations at all. I think he's probably just going to go relax his mind. He's going to be in the gym. His mentality is, I'm trying to get better. That's his main focus. And as a young player, you know, growing in this league, I think that's the right mindset, right attitude to have. But my point is, what Sean Marks is trying to convey to everybody else, to kind of shut down the narratives about the media and who's really controlling the team. And I agree. A lot of things can be said behind closed doors, but the thing is, we don't know if those conversations were already said to Kyrie in particular. We don't know if they already had those conversations behind closed doors. We don't know. But what he and the organization wanted to establish is that they're completely in control. It's the same thing Jeannie Buss did not too long ago as an owner. There's way too many narratives out there pretty much saying that who's really controlling the team, who's really making the decisions. Is it LeBron? Is it this one? And some people are saying, well, LeBron is pretty good at making decisions because, look, he won a championship. That's great. Then what? You guys are fans. You know what that means. Okay, you won a championship. Now what? What have you done for me lately? Because 18 months later, you're already firing the coach and saying everything is a disaster. Meanwhile, you just won a chip not too long ago, right? But you didn't make the playoffs, and you still had, you know, LeBron James playing. He was healthy. I get, you know, not being able to figure out the Russell Westbrook scenario and understanding that maybe he was only going to fit if Anthony Davis was, you know, healthy long enough. Because, like I said, it's that thing called chemistry that everybody don't understand. And all that matters. And like I said, and Jeannie Buss came out and pretty much just said, listen, I'm the one who made all decisions. And if I didn't make the right decision, it happens. That's life. But moving forward, it's not good enough. Teams want to be winning. They want to be in the conversation every year. They don't want to make decisions based off of, okay, you know, let's just win right like this year. And if we lose the next couple of years and not make the playoffs, man, we're good with that. No. Not only do they want to win a championship, they want to be relevant. They want to be in the conversation. That's just the way it goes. And a lot of people don't understand that. And this comes from a leadership standpoint. And the fact that they're coming out as leaders, letting you know, setting the tone, what they're expecting, who's really in charge, and they're not going to tell you anything else, because obviously their game plan is between them and that franchise and that organization. But it just comes from the top. That's what a lot of people, you know, they don't understand that. Like, if you have a messy organization, the players are going to look messy, the coach is going to look messy, and it's not necessarily the individual pieces that are messy. It's just the leadership. It's the culture. I always preach that. It's all about the culture, and the culture comes with everything. It's how you build that chemistry. And it's not necessarily liking. Like, some people get that twisted, too. Just because they're winning and everybody doesn't need to be friends. Like, you're not friends with your coworkers, but I'm sure you're working for a successful business, right? For the most part, you know, if you're working for a corporate type country, company. At the end of the day, they have a common goal, right? That's it. It's literally that simple. And by you establishing those boundaries and establishing your leadership and letting people know, like, this is what it's going to be, and you're either here or you're not. Because the reality is they're going to find somebody else. I mean, they did a really good job recruiting and getting people to excited about Brooklyn and wanting to play. And, you know, some people would give that credit to the previous president. But me personally, I mean, that has to do with, I'll take it a step further back. I think that had to do with Jay-Z, right? That's a powerful influence, right? That's a culture. Like, the Brooklyn Nets became this cultural phenomenon that everybody wanted to flock to. That's how important that is. You know, that influence of people willing to do things, willing to be a part of something. That's what you need the players to do. You gotta have players around you that's willing to be 100% in. You know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it works. And if anybody else has any other agendas outside of that that will affect that basketball team, then they're going to have to make their decisions accordingly. You know, you could have, you know, your own opinion. You can let me know how you feel about it, whether it's a personal bias or whether you feel like, you know, meaning Kyrie, he should do whatever he wants. But, you know, at the same time, at the end of the day, it's either about whether you want to play, like your love of the game, you really want to play, or your other aspirations just stronger than playing ball. And if it is, I think the president, pretty much Sean Marks, made himself pretty clear about how he's going to take that further. Now, whether we'll believe him, that will be based off his actions now, right? As a leader, because now that he said that and put it out there on Front Street, now we're going to see. And I really hope that a lot of this, whatever drama that comes out next, because I can already see it, I'm just hoping it happens after the playoffs and the finals are over. Even the draft. Just because I don't like when drama seems to, you know, just overcome or overpower what's more important. You know, the game right now. We want to talk about the game. We want to talk about the guys who are still in it, who have fought, you know, who have put everything aside, you know, and just made basketball their main focus. Because as a basketball fan right now, if you are not thoroughly entertained, and I don't, you're probably just not a real basketball fan. You should be, like, every night trying to do whatever you can, plan your schedule around these games. I mean, I know I do it for, you know, obvious reasons, but I'm just saying, like, it's exciting right now, and that's all I can hope for. Just please keep the drama till after. You know, I know everybody wants to stay relevant and they want to pop in every now and again, but just do what LeBron's doing. I have no problem doing what he's doing. He's literally, like, giving advice through Twitter. You know, closing out quarters. It's so important. You know, it is. People take that for granted. Closing out quarters is important. So if you want to throw out some gems like that, you're not in the playoffs, you know, you Kevin Durant or Kyrie, please do that. Help out these younger guys who are still trying to get it together and still trying to figure things out. Because I believe that when LeBron James said that, it did have an impact. And that's not saying the coaches are not doing their jobs and trying to, you know, disseminate that same advice. But it's different when it's LeBron, right? It's different. Just imagine if Michael Jordan did that. He ain't going to do it. I doubt it. You know, it's just not built like that. But I'm just saying, it helps the game. I'm all for helping the game, whatever gets better, whenever. But just to get back to the previous conversation about the GM and the president and, you know, the coaches and the players and even the owner and what it takes to come all together and win a championship, everybody's got to be on the same page. It's really hard to cook when somebody else is buying the groceries. I get it. But when you have something that you believe in, you'll get it done. But, you know, that's just me. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is is The Ripple Effect with your girl K-Doc, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.